disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
A title this evening which we're going to talk about, a very important one, and that is being the attitude of praise and song before the Lord. Be in the attitude of praise and song before the Lord. And I trust tonight that this will encourage you why God has not only saved you for his glory, but also to give him praise and worship. And we know that true praise and worship comes out of a life that is sacrificed to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. That is the presenting of yourself, you, your whole being upon that altar as that sacrifice, the giving back of yourself, which is the only thing that we can give back to God in that sense, because everything else is done with regard to our salvation by the mercy and grace of God, and remembering, of course, that he first loved us. But we offer ourselves back to him, that living sacrifice. And indeed, if we've done that and settled that in his presence, then something within us starts to well up. And very often it wells up in praise and in worship. And God has so created and made us by not only giving us a good pair of lungs, vocal cords, and that we're able to sing with what he has given to us, praises and worship to his name. But God isn't always in praise and worship unless it is wholly given to him for his glory. Unless also our praise and worship is clean in his sight. And this is why it is important when the saints come together that they make sure that they come not only with the right heart and motive, but also with clean hands and a pure heart, because we are worshipping a holy and awesome God. And so that is why I'm calling our teaching tonight, be in the attitude of praise and song before the Lord. You know, there's great power in praising God, and it keeps you focused. It also strengthens you, and it strengthens you especially in the inner man. You know, so often we can be so consumed in learning the Word of God, and indeed that is important, and taking the Word of God in, that is important. Even coming tonight online, listening to this teaching, all of that is important. And we find that when we go through our trials and tribulations, the Word of God and the promises of God are essential. But it is still not enough. There is also with that praise and worship. And God is looking for that. And God is especially looking when it is a sacrifice of praise. That is, when you, yourself, you don't feel like doing it. That is about the last thing you want to do, is start to praise and worship and sing before God and lift holy hands in his presence. I would sooner tell God how I feel and what I'm going through, and this is hurting, as though God hasn't heard it all before. One thing I've learnt as being pastor over all these years, there are two things that I have seen that cause believers to either go back or remain in oppression. And those two things are: they have very little prayer life, that is prayer between themselves and God. And the second thing is they don't really know how to praise the Lord. And you can see it so often in meetings. Sadly, there is barely anything coming out of them. Or they're finding worship an effort, not getting any joy, nothing out of it. And if you find that that is a familiar pattern happening in a believer, then that is an outward sign something is seriously wrong. The same as those who can't endure a trial, it's possibly their prayer life is negligent. It doesn't actually take long to diagnose some of the major problems that affect believers. And we so often can be our own worst enemy. You see, one of the things that we find difficult at times to learn as born-again believers, that God starts to train us. We are those soldiers in God's spiritual army. And like all soldiers, we have to be trained. And you have to go over the routine over and over and over again, which is exactly what soldiers do when being trained, going through the same drill. Why do they do that to them? So that their drill, their exercise, becomes a part of them. It's their life. It's their expectation. Their whole life is geared round that training, and rightly so, because they're facing warfare. Well, it's a similar pattern in many ways to the believer, the overcomer. And yet when we find that God starts to do this work with us, we become offended and hurt. Or we take it out on the ministry or whatever it is. But God is training us. He's teaching us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. He's teaching us that prayer is essential if you want to go deeper with God. He's teaching us how to hear His word under the anointing. He's teaching us that when He speaks to us for a reason, so that we can take that before God in dialogue and share and talk it out with Him. There is so much the Holy Spirit is teaching us. But if we find that we continue to ignore these things that He's doing, and teaching us also to praise and worship Him, then we find we start to move into oppression and depression. You no longer find that God is focused. You no longer find that He is strengthening you. He is strengthening your heart when it seems to fail you. And this is where praise and worship comes in. We're told that God inhabits the praises of His people. It means to inhabit. It means that He dwells in that. When true praise and worship comes out of your heart, that is God. God's dwelling in that. God's presence is in that. God is recognizing what he has put into you to glorify his name. Like the farmer that sows the seed into the ground. That seed must have good ground. It must have light for it all to grow. It's not just enough sowing it into ground. The ground has to be prepared, fed. And then there has to be the light, the warmth of the sun, all the ingredients causing it to germinate and to grow. So likewise with the believer. Also, our praise and worship is part of that sun, if you like, the sun of righteousness shining down upon us, causing us to praise and to worship him. What does Job have to say about this? Let's turn to Job, the book of Job 35 and verse 10. Remember that Job went through great trial and tribulation. Very few go through what Job went through with regard to being tried and tested by the Lord. But look what it says here in Job 35 and verse 10. Where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night? So in his trial, his anguish as he's looking to God and so forth, where is he, the one who gives me those songs in the night to help, comfort, to rejoice and praise God, to lift me up into his presence? Because that's what it does. And great trial will do that. And that's why we see that praise to God can be anywhere, anytime, any day, night or day. It's not limited. And of course, we know the wonderful story. We can't leave this one out in the book of Acts. Acts 16, chapter 16. And verses 25 to 34. And here we know where the Philippian jailer is saved, his family, and Paul and Silas have been imprisoned in those ghastly places, those dungeons, the worst place you could ever think of being put. But look what happens here. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Ha ha. So they were praising and worshipping God. They were just getting caught up in God's presence. And look at the power of it. It caused those others to be listening. I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what was going through their minds. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Isn't that wonderful? That it wasn't just Paul and Silas, but God had mercy on them all. Look at the power of praise. God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Those prison doors were open for those men. They were drawn in by that presence. Brothers and sisters, we should be experiencing some of that. And we don't, because we don't praise. We're not learning the sacrifice of praise. And immediately the doors were open and the chains were loose. That's what praise does. And the keeper of the prisoner awakened from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. So there's God's protection in praise from the evil one. Here he was protected, even through his fear, because he thought they had all fled. But here God is in control. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." So there we find in praise and worship this order, this protection. Then he called for a light and ran and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Oh, wish to God men and women come before him in such a plea. What do I do to be saved? So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." That's why we believe in household salvation. And that's why you hold on to your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, whoever. Hold on in faith. For God will bring them in. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And he took them that night and he washed their stripes and so on. That is the power of praise. Sacrificial praise. That was praise truly and sincerely from the heart offered up to God, which is what he looks for. And it brought about this miracle. You see, the power of praise is essential for us. It is vital for the Christian to learn to be taught by the Holy Spirit to praise and worship him. Why is it so essential? Because it helps us spiritually. It brings us into the presence of God. It brings a joy to our hearts. It also helps us mentally. When the mind is under a battle and it seems the powers of darkness are suggesting so many things to the mind, the enemy hates praise. If you want the enemy to off your back, praise and worship is one of the clear ways in which to do it. And he will. This is why when I encourage you to go into your closet and meet with God, which we should do daily, give time for worship and praise first. Lift holy hands in his presence. Sing before him. Sing in the Spirit before him. And wait for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into his presence. And be like Samuel, ready to hear from the Lord. And not come out with all our lists and our woes and our complaints and our problems. How often do we hear God speaking to us? And we don't, because we don't praise and worship him. God is speaking so much more to us than ever we realize. We miss out because we're so wrapped up in ourselves. Me, my problems. I'm down. I'm depressed. You don't know what I'm going through. Sounds familiar? So it helps us mentally. And not only does it help us mentally, but above all, it helps us physically. Could it be that the chains of sickness would be broken as you start to praise and worship God? When maybe physically it's almost impossible to do so? How can I praise God? I've got paralyzed hands, you say. How can I praise God? I've lost my voice. We can make all the excuses under the sun. But God looks from the heart. It's the motive. It's the desire. It's putting priorities first. That's what God looks for. Doesn't matter what sound you make. Doesn't matter whether the voice is croaky or whatever it would be. God can inhabit that. He can inspire that. He can be in that praise and worship. And when his presence is in that, then you can easily find the chains of sickness and bondage being broken away from your life. We've forgotten how to do it, haven't we? Emotionally. And we go through emotional trials. Yet we find that praise and worship can work on the emotions. You know, I've taught much about emotions over the years. And the reason I teach so much about it is because emotions is like the weather, the wind. You never know what direction it is moving in. Our emotions can change at the flick of a sixpence. And so praise and worship starts to balance us emotionally, no matter what we may be feeling. If you're feeling anger and resentment, praise and worship just suddenly brings it all down, where it's in control. This again, as soldiers, is what God has to teach us. One of the things that he's teaching us as overcomers is self-control, because that's, if anything, that characterizes this last generation, we have lost self-control. Whether it be in society, in governments, you name it, there's not that self-control anymore. Everyone reacts at the slightest thing. People are becoming so volcanic, they erupt at the slightest thing or news that they hear, and they get out of control. God's teaching us this control under trial, which is exactly what soldiers had to be taught. You see, it's the Holy Spirit filling you for this very purpose. He has equipped us how to worship him. We just have to get out of the way and allow him to glorify and worship his name through us. So often we are the hindrance. This is why I'm encouraging you so much these days with faith. Just let go and let God take over. Whatever it is, we're the ones that get in the way. And so if we've got wrong attitudes towards worship and praise, then you've got to let go of all of that. And let the Holy Spirit, who is the one in your life who knows how to glorify him name, let him work through you. For out of your innermost beings flow those rivers of living water. What does Job 8 and verse 21 have to say? Job chapter 8 and verse 21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Who will? He will. He will put those songs in your mouth. He will put those words in your mouth. He will cause you to sing both in the understanding and to sing in the spirit. We don't do that now much, do we? We used to once. When we used to get caught up in praise, suddenly we let the Holy Spirit take over and we sung in those wonderful languages. Can't remember the last time. Isn't it sad? Why? Because we don't let go. We get in the way. What does Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21 say? Deuteronomy 10 and verse 21. He is your praise, and he is your God. He who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. He is your praise. Not about your praise, my praise. It's his praise by his mercy and grace. If I am worshipping and praising God, that is his mercy and grace enabling me to do that. This is why it's not about us. And this is where so much goes wrong, sometimes in churches, where you've got these song leaders up there and they're trying to push it on. They're trying to control the whole meeting. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes to control. But we don't believe that. Man wants to be in control. He knows how to glorify his name, because he puts that in us. I know what I'm talking about here, brothers and sisters, because I had the privilege many, many years ago, when in the charismatic, the Holy Spirit was being poured out. I remember a meeting I went to in Guildford Cathedral, absolutely packed. There must have been 2,000 or more. And we started to worship and praise God. I don't think there was one hand that was not down. And we started to sing and worship and praise God. And then the Holy Spirit quickened and took over. And then our voices began to mingle together and to start to worship God in the Spirit and in those tongues. And after a while, as we were worshiping and praising, we all of us became aware that there was a sound that wasn't of us. And that sound got louder and louder. And some of us began to look up and where this sound was coming from. And we realized it was the only coming from above. That's all I could say. And then after a while, we stopped singing because we wanted to hear this. And that sound continued from heaven. And people began to fall on their faces. People wept. I trembled. And the sound went on and on and on. And slowly, 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 it began to dissipate until one voice in the heavens was singing praise and glory to God. I tell you, you could have heard a coin drop through the silence in that cathedral. And nobody spoke for at least 10 minutes. It was absolutely awesome. This is why I have a passion tonight, what I'm sharing with you, because I speak this out of experience. I haven't begun to enter into this, what there is with this in praise and worship. But it's whether we want it. It's whether we're hungry enough. It's whether we're willing to get out of the way and allow the one whom I've just read to here in 10, 21 of Deuteronomy. And I'll read it again. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen and will continue to do so. Because we now know under the new covenant, Jesus said you will go on to do even greater and better things, which includes this. And yet we're just scratching the surface. What does Psalm 33 have to say? I'm not using too much of the Psalms because it's a little bit obvious. I want to show other parts of the scriptures in the Bible that also speak about praise, because of course the Psalms are filled about praising and worshipping God, but it is good just to add a few here in the context of what we're talking about. Psalm 33, and it says in verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful." There's beauty in praise and worship because God inhabits it. What does Psalm 147 say? 147 and verse 1. "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful." And it is indeed beautiful. It is wonderful because of its purity, because it's directed to the maker and creator of all things, God himself. And so, as we round up with this in a conclusion, we see then that the nature of praise to the believer is in nature sacrificial. And the reason it's sacrificial is because of the complexity of life that we live. Our lives are complex. We live in an age and a world now that is so highly complex. Our daily work, our tasks, the demands upon our life. How can God get anything out of that, you ask? And yet he does, and he will, because he said, hasn't he, "Put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And I can assure he will add that time in which to praise and worship him. That's the miraculous side of God. Don't even try and work out how God gives you that time. He will if you put the kingdom of God first. Because our walk as Christians should be a miraculous walk. It's not a walk like the world. It's other than. Even under the demands and complexity of this life. What does Hebrews tell us about praise worship? The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 16. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So you don't always have to go somewhere or go into the toilet if you're at work and start to praise and worship him. That can be good and God will give you the time. But look what is being said here. "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise." Let's always be ready to worship, to praise him. Let's always be in that attitude. And to give God that thanks out of the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So thanks, recognition, is also part of praise and worship, which of course indeed we do. Many of our songs and choruses and hymns are all about thanks and praise to him. So allow the Holy Spirit to work in you where you are in that attitude. And you're not only going to find that he'll do that, but that keeps you lifted up. It puts a smile on your face. Yes, even when you're going through a trial. Oh, there's so many brothers and sisters who confess Christ, but they've got a face as long as a cricket bat. That's not what God has saved us for. I'm going to raise a question today, and you'll know where you stand in this. I point two fingers at myself when I say this. Do you go a whole day without praising God? And it doesn't even bother you. And only you can answer that question. Because I've answered it in my own life. What does Psalm 72:15 say? Sorry, I've got a wrong scripture here. I'm so sorry about that. But, you know, worship God. Have that attitude. Allow him to work this through you so that he is your praise, your worship, your recognition. And every time when you open your mouth to worship and praise him, he has put that ability within you, that power within you to glorify his name. You know, so sadly today, but a lot of praise that we see today is inspired more by entertainment. A lot of Christians go and they're entertained. God does not entertain us in that sense. We go in which to offer ourselves to worship and praise. And as we gather together, the meeting of God's people is so that the Holy Spirit can touch and anoint each individual, not controlled by elders or a song leader. I know some churches where if somebody wants to prophesy, they've got to go and ask someone if they can do it or not. How on earth can you do that? The time you go and ask someone, you've lost the anointing. Now, of course, everything is done in an order. That is how the Holy Spirit learns. And we even have to be long-suffering if maybe somebody steps out of line or isn't quite sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's what the love of God does in the body of Christ. But if that person is open to the Lord, they've learned by their mistake. Instead of shooting them down quickly, God wants to anoint each of us. He wants us to know that he is the power of our praise and worship, and not some band or musicians or song leader. It's more than that. He has filled us with himself. He has filled us with his word, his presence. The very one who spoke the world into beings is the one who lives, resides in us. The very one who created music is the one who lives in us. The very one who spoke the word of God, these 66 books, is the one who lives in us. So why do we suppress all of this? Why are we so afraid? Why? He's delivering the overcomers. He's delivering the saints. Because God is going to restore worship and praise in Zion. Not a denomination. Not an organization. He's restoring praise in Zion. God's people. Called out people, a holy people set apart unto him. That is where they will experience again true praise and worship, a holy praise and worship that is acceptable to a holy God. And this, as I close, this is why this reveals so sadly in the house of God that there is so much depression and oppression that's going on. It shouldn't be amongst believers, and yet sadly it is. Ministers and pastors are ever counselling people, Christians, with depression, on medication and so forth. And I bet you can guarantee it's those two areas that are lacking, praise and worship, in their lives, because it throws off all the shackles. And I close with this thought. Saul, who sinned, who went to the medium and sinned badly and was jealous against David, who of course was anointed king. Saul began to suffer with depression. Today they would call it bipolar. And he called upon David, didn't he, to play the harp. And when he played, his spirit was revived. But that jealousy that was taking over was so much that, of course, he tried to kill him with his javelin. But there you see what happens when you don't praise and worship God anymore. That depression starts to take over. It's up to us. God presents it to us. Now we take it up. That's where our free will comes in. Nobody can force anyone in this, and nobody certainly does. But we're showing you tonight how you can get the enemy off your back. How you can be used of God. But the key to this is to worship, to praise him. To be that vessel filled with his presence. To have the joy of the Lord in your life. And you will find that your fellowship will be enriched. Because if you're down, you're sad, you're miserable, not many people want to be around people like that. And certainly not in fellowship. And we can be our own worst enemy. But we can also get the enemy off our back. Heavenly Father, we again praise you and thank you that you know how to speak that right word in whatever day or season or hour or month we go through. It is tailor-made for us. And Lord, I pray that we would experience what you have shared with us this evening, that it would become a part of us, that we would just open ourselves up and whatever hindrances that are there, just letting go so that you become our praise, our worship. You become the words that come out of our mouth. You become our confession, our belief. Let this world see Jesus in and through us. Father, it is enough. The world has seen too much of depression, oppression, unbelief, hearing what God can't do today. Oh Lord, we take all the limits off you, Father, that you can have your way in and through our lives. That the church again comes back and is restored under that apostolic power and anointing. Where again the people of the church are led by the Spirit to share the good news of the gospel and those signs following of healing, deliverance, salvation. But Lord, we know the key to this is praise. Father, I pray that you'll be with us all. Be with my brothers and sisters through this week. Preserve and keep them under the blood of Jesus. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation. Until we assemble again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus.